This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Parshas Vayera. So, we're going to start with an interesting halacha. The Mishnah says, in bracha is ala harim, on mountains, v'al ha'gvois, and on hills, v'al ha'yamim, and on seas, v'al ha'naharis, and on rivers, v'al ha'midbaris, and deserts, oimer, baruch, oisa, ma'asabreshas. You say, baruch atah Hashem, lakenu ma'achalam, oisa, ma'asabreshas. Now, what kind of mountains? Any mountain, you go to the Catskills, and you make oisa ma'asabreshas. So the Aruch HaShulchan says it has to be something impressive. He says, like the Pyrenees Mountains, or Mount Ararat, or something impressive, a mighty river, Mount Everest. By the way, there was a lot of traffic there recently. Well, half the hikers, I think, you know, passed on. So I don't recommend going there, but it's good to talk about it, okay? So anyway, on various mountains, various hills, seas, rivers, deserts, you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oisa Ma'asa Bereishis. So now the question is, let's talk about the Yam HaMelech, because if we don't have heat here, at the very least we can imagine we're in a nice warm place, we're sitting in the heat, we're in the desert, and the power of imagination is such, they said Reb Chaim Brisker had such a power of imagination that he could imagine on a hot day it was cold and he had to put on his coat. So the power of the mind is very strong. So in a few moments we're going to turn off the space. See, we're not going to need heat. You can take off your coats, you can take off your scarves. We're going to imagine that we're in the Yam HaMelech. So the question is, would you make the bracha Baruch Oisa Ma'asa Bereishis on the Yam HaMelech? And at first glance, it would seem obviously, yeah, this is a sea. It's an impressive sea. Definitely reflects the greatness of the Creator. One would think you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oisa Ma'asa Bereishis. So let's learn a little bit about how the Yam HaMelech was created, when it was created, its history, its topography, and along with it, we're going to learn some very interesting halachas. So in last week's parsha, we have the war of the four kings against the five kings. You have Eis Kedar La'Oimer. Kedar La'Oimer led the assault, even though in the beginning of the parsha it says Amraphel, Vahivi Me Amraphel. So you have Nimrod and Kedar La'Oimer, the four kings against the five kings. And where's the big stadium? Where do they clash? Kol Eilech Chaveru, they all got together. El Emek Hasidim. In Emek Hasidim, if you ask most people, what's Emek Hasidim? Most people say, I have no idea, that's the name of a place. And Rashi says that's true. It is the name of a place, but why is it called Emek Hasidim? What does the word Sidim mean? Rashi says, Al Shem Shahaya Boy Sadois Harbe. There were many fields there. It was a lush area. It was a place of vegetation. Emek Hasidim. It had Sadois. The only thing is, the end of the Pasuk says, Hu Yam HaMelach. So that's the furthest thing from thinking about Yam HaMelech. You think about the Yam HaMelech, you think about desert, you think about a place where nothing could grow. There's even a question whether bacteria or amoeba could exist in the Yam HaMelech. There's a big scientific debate. Could a single cell organism live in the Yam HaMelech? But nothing, certainly nothing that sophisticated could be alive in the Yam HaMelech. Nothing grows there. And yet the beginning of the Pasuk says it was Emek Hasidim, a place of fields, a lush area. And then it says Hu Yam HaMelech. The Targum says the same thing. Kol Ilein Iskenashu Lemesha Chaklaya. It was the plain of fields. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Hu Yam HaMelech. It doesn't mean right now it's the Yam HaMelech. Right now it's not the Yam HaMelech. La'achar zman, time later, nimshach hayam l'soicha, the sea fed into it. Which sea? I guess the Kinneret, the Galilee Sea, or the Jordan River, or the Yarmouk River. It fed into that area. V'nasa Yam HaMelech. So Rashi's saying the Yam HaMelech did not exist originally, but it came later, that the sea fed into it. Rashi continues. Rashi says, U'medrash agodoim. Rashi brings a medrash. Shenizbaku hatsurim svivoysav. The rocks cracked open. V'nimshechu ya'orim l'soicha. And all the rivers were diverted into that area. So either the sea fed into that area, or the rocks cracked open, and now all the various rivers are flowing into that area. Rashi doesn't say when that happened. Rashi doesn't say when in history that occurred. When did the Yam go into it? When did the rivers start flowing into it? But Azoi Zokt Rashi, that the Yam HaMelech did not exist Misheshes Yimei Bereishis, but it developed later. Either the sea went into it, or the rivers began flowing into it. The Marzu, actually there's a big debate, is it Marzu or the Marzav? So in my yeshiva, they pronounce it Marzu. You know, and it sounds good, Marzu. Marzu is one of the classic commentaries on the Medrash, on the Medrash Rabbah. And maybe a more scholarly way to read it would be the Marzav, because his name was Reb Zev Wolf. But be it as it may, he's one of the classic commentaries on the Medrash. And he says that when did it become Yam HaMelech? I think the way most people think, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam turned over Sodom and Amora, so the area had a great upheaval, and the rivers cracked open, and it poured into that area, and it became the Yam HaMelech. Now, where did the salt come from? I don't know. Some people would say, you know, in Parshas Nitzavim, it says, Gofris v'melach, Sreifa kalarto, that Hashem turned Sodom into a salty area. So somehow, we have in our heads, God poured salt. He took a big salt shaker, and he poured it down on Sodom, and then somehow water flowed in there, and he took a big spoon and he mixed it together, and that's where the Yam HaMelech came from. Which, as we're going to learn, that's not exactly what happened. Okay, it's not Hashem took out a salt shaker. So we're going to start now, Rabbi Yisai, with the Malbim. This is an incredible Malbim. This Malbim really captures the approach of the Malbim to Chumash, because here's an example of a pasuk that all the Rishonim and all the Achronim, and we could say there are literally hundreds of Perushim on the Pasuk, and when you read them, you think, yeah, that's Pshat, that's Pshat, that's Pshat, until you see the Malbim. And when you see the Malbim, you realize that is the authoritative, that's what the Pasuk is saying. That's how the Malbim has a Koyach HaChidush, that is able to innovate, that when you see the Malbim, you say, wow, he's the only one who thought of that. And the Beis Halevi writes, there are Perush, there are Psukim in Tanakh, that the Malbim was the only one who was able to explain it, Beruach HaKodesh. I tell you, my grandfather's grandfather was best friend of the Malbim in the city of Linshitz in the 1860s. My great-great-grandfather was the Rav of the city of Linshitz, and the Malbim, during one of his breaks between Rabbonos, sat and he wrote the Perush HaMalbim in the city of Linshitz in the 1860s. So you can imagine, my grandfather, I know someone who knew the Malbim. My grandfather saw someone who knew the Malbim. This is going back 160 years ago. The Malbim lived in the 1860s. Anyway, the Malbim says like this. Look at number 8. Vayisa loit eseinav. Light lifted his eyes. Vayaris kol kikar hayardin. He saw the plain of the Jordan plain. Kichula mashke. It was all watered. Now, that's a kasha. What do you mean it was all watered? The area of Sodom was a watered area. We know it was completely destroyed. It was completely overturned. It's desert. It's arid. It's the most dead place in the world. No, it's irrigated. What was irrigating that region? Lifnei shacheis Hashem es Sodom es Amora. Before God destroyed Sodom and Amora. Kigan Hashem. It was like the Garden of Eden. How was Sodom like the Garden of Eden? Ke'aretz Mitzrayim. It was like the land of Egypt. How is it like Egypt? Boyachot Sayar. Well, says the Malbim an incredible pshat. The Malbim says like this. There's a Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River, before God destroyed Sodom and Amorah, had very little place to go. Because before Sodom and Amorah, before that earthquake, where did all the water of the Jordan go? Says the Malbim, like any river that has nowhere to go, it overflows, like the Nile River. The Nile River has too much water for its banks. So it overflows and waters miles and miles and miles across its shore. The Jordan River was like the Nile River. It was like the land of Egypt, where the water had nowhere to go, so it overflowed and watered 30 parsa into Eretz Yisrael. Now a parsa is 4 mil, which is 2.6 miles. So 30 parsa is about 70, 80 miles. That means 80 miles into the width of Israel, it was irrigated through the Jordan River. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam took Sodom and Amorah, and he created great upheaval, and there is a crater now in Sodom and Amorah, a big amek, a big valley. Now the water of the Jordan doesn't have a place to overflow. Now it gushes into this deep area and fills up. Now, God made such a big crevice in the earth, it went down into the Tahaim. And we know in the Tahaim, there are minerals, and there's salt, and there are all kinds of poisonous toxins in the core of the earth. So now all this water that used to overflow goes into the Oimek, and fills up the Oimek, and now mixes with the minerals of the earth, and that is what created the Yam HaMelech. And now instead of it being a lush and fertile area, it became the deadest area in the world. It's the lowest area in the world because of the crater that God created. And the salt does not come from a salt shaker that God poured down on Sodom. Nothing to do with that. The salt of the Yam HaMelech, says the Malbim, comes from the fact that the water goes into the Tahaim. And the reason it doesn't overflow is that it's constantly absorbed by the Tahaim. So says the Malbim, this is Pshat in the Pasuk. Vayisa loyda sein of light lifts his eyes. Vayaris kol kikar yarden, he saw the whole plain. Kikula mashka, it was all watered. When was it watered? Lifnei shachis Hashem esodam esamayar. Kigan Hashem was like the Garden of Eden, because we know the Garden of Eden also had a river that overflowed, right? It says, V'nohar yoytse me'eden v'hishka es kol hagan. Ke'eretz Mitzrayim, it was like the land of Egypt. And how is it like the land of Egypt? Just like the Nile overflowed, the Yarden overflowed. Now listen to this. Gan Eden had something Mitzrayim doesn't have, and Mitzrayim had something that Gan Eden didn't have. We know Gan Eden had what kind of produce? Fruits, apples, pears, oranges. Rabbis, you know what fruits are? Fruits, you know, when you come into a store, those round things that they sell, they're very probably the most inexpensive items in the store. Sometimes they're in orange, sometimes they're in red. In the olden days, people used to buy them and eat them. Fruits, right? Those are fruits. So, in Gan Eden had fruits. But do you ever see they had green peppers in Gan Eden, cucumbers, tomatoes? There were no vegetables in Gan Eden. They had kol pri toiv lemachal v'nechbad lemara. They had beautiful fruits. There are no vegetables. But in Mitzrayim, the Torah always talks about that Mitzrayim was Lizroim. What does the Pasuk say about Mitzrayim? Loi keretz Mitzrayim hi asher tizra ezaracha v'hishkisa baraglecha kegan hayarak. Mitzrayim had many vegetables, but try getting a decent fruit in Egypt. I personally have never been able to get a decent fruit in Egypt. The fruits in Egypt are... there. By the way, there's some very good kfarim in Egypt if you want to... the kever of the Abir Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Abi Chatzera is there. But fruits, you're not going to get any fruits in Egypt. Bad fruits. Esroigim in Egypt, there's Shvacha Esroigim. Egypt is good for vegetables. Gan Eden is good for fruits. And Sodom was the most lush area in the world that had fruits and vegetables. It's Kegan Hashem Lepeirois, it's Keretz Mitzrayim Lezroim, and that's because the Yarden overflowed and watered at least 30 parsa of Eretz Yisrael. That's the origins of the Yam HaMelech. So Yam HaMelech was created in this week's parsha, in Parsha's Vayera, when Avram Avinu was 99 years old. How old? So what year would you say the Yam HaMelech was made? So we know Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948. And in the beginning of Parsha's Vayera, Avram Avinu is how old? 99 years old. So in the year 2047, the Yam HaMelech came to be. Yeah? And if you look in the Seder HaDoros, he says the year 2037, so I don't understand, but it seems like he's 10 years off. But L'chaira was created in the year 2047. Okay, that's one interesting tidbit. Let's take this further. The water in the Galilee Sea, you ever try to drink it? Don't drink it. I don't think you could drink it, but it's not salty. It's not salt water. There are many seas that are freshwater seas. There are many seas that are saltwater seas. There are some oceans that are saltier than others. In Halacha, at least, the Atlantic Ocean is considered the saltiest of all the oceans.
Are you talking about the Canaris?
Yeah. The Galilee is not a saltwater body, but the Atlantic Ocean is salty. Where does the salt in the Atlantic Ocean come from? So, there's a biography on the Vilna Gaon, like one of the official biographies called Aliyos Eliyahu. And in the back, there are footnotes. And in the last footnote on the Aliyos Eliyahu, they bring a yesoid in water, in the bodies of water in the world, which is brought lahalacha. And this is attributed to the Hagoyin Meharadna. And this is brought in the Sefer of the Aliyos Eliyahu. Then in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Parak Yud Gimel, it says that the Malchus of Beis David will last like the Bris Melech, like the covenant of salt. So Rashi says, what does David HaMelech, what does Malchus Beis David got to do with salt? That just like salt never spoils, so too the Malchus Beis David will never cease. And the Gra is attributed to have said, that is nothing, that's not the Pshat. Malchus Beis David's comparison to salt is not just like salt doesn't spoil, David HaMelech will always have sovereignty. The comparison to salt is as follows. Says the Gra, everybody knows that the area of Sodom used to be a plain. And then God overtook, Hashem created a great upheaval and created a crater in the earth. And there was an earthquake and the earth opened up and the water flowed into it. And God created the Yam HaMelech as a saltwater body. That saltwater body then flows and flows and flows until it comes to other rivers. And finally it reaches the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. All the salt and all the oceans and waters in the world come from the Yam HaMelech, says the Gra. That means until the year 2047, all the water in the world was sweet water. There is no salt in the water. All the salt in the water comes from the Yam HaMelech, says the Aliyas Kir. So says the Gra, an amazing thing. We have a tradition based on the Psikta and based on the Yushalmi, that when Mashiach comes and based on the Psikta Yecheskel, a spring of water will sprout forth from under the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash and flow into the Yam HaMelech and cure the Yam HaMelech of its salt and it will be sweet again. And from there all the waters in the world will be sweet again. The Pshat in the Pasuk, says the Gra of Bris Melech, just like there's no way to cure the salty waters of the world, Malchus Beit Zavid will last forever. You know, many countries are looking to desalinate the water, and they've come up with various means to get the salt out of the water. But the water itself, the ocean itself, will always be salty. That they haven't figured out, how to remove the salt from the water so that the body of water is a sweet body of water. So the same way there's no way to do that, there's no way to cause any interruption in the Malchus Beis Zavid. So what does this have to do with anything? So first of all, we're learning the history of the Yam HaMelech. The Yam HaMelech did not always exist. It was either created when God made a crater in the world in the area of Sidoim and the sea flowed into it, or the Yarden flowed into it, or the Ribbono Shel Olam took the Ribbono Shel Olam took Sidoim, saltified it, and through that created the Yam HaMelech. But the Yam HaMelech is not one of the original oceans or bodies of water in the world. And in that case, one would think that you would not make an Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis on the Yam HaMelech. The reason being, it was not there when Hashem said, Bereishis Bara Elokim, God did not make the Yam HaMelech when He created the world. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, if you look at number 12, the Mishnah Berurah, on the bracha of Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis, he brings the Elia Rabbah, and he says that, what's the concept, what is the idea behind the bracha of Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis? He says Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis is that anything that was created when God created the world, we praise Him if we could recognize that this phenomenon, this item of nature, which we see with our own eyes, existed all the way back in time, existed when Hashem created the world. If we're able to take and look at something in nature and say, this river, this ocean, this mountain existed when Hashem created the world, Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's the idea and that's the concept behind the bracha of Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis. And therefore, one would say that you don't make Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis on lightning, because you can't...
How does it fit, according to what we're saying now,
It's a separate subject. Why you make Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis on lightning? Technically, you can make a different bracha. You could also make Shekoicha Gvasim Ali Olam. We'll see. There are other... Sometimes you can make Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis on other phenomenon as well. But Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis is technically reserved for items and phenomena in nature that we could say, this place existed back when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And therefore, if you look in the Yishal Avraham Mibuchach, he quotes the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham wants to know, you know, do you make a bracha on the Mississippi River? I once saw the Mississippi River from, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and there's a place called like this, the Bass Pro Shop. It's like the biggest indoor gun store in North America, you know, down south. And you go up to the elevator. It's the tallest freestanding elevator. And you could look down, you could see a muddy, dirty Mississippi River. Do you make a bracha on the Mississippi River? Do you make a bracha on the Ohio River? Do you make a bracha on the Danube River? Do you make a bracha on the Rhine River, right? Do you make a bracha on these rivers? So the Magen Avraham says, as long as it's bigger than the smallest of the four rivers mentioned in Bereishis, you make the bracha of Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis. But says the Yishal Avraham Mibuchach, in my opinion, I don't think you can make a bracha on any river. I think Bizman Hazeh, you cannot make a bracha on any river. You know why? How could you say about any river today, Yeah? How can you say about any river today that it existed from the time Hashem created the world? How are we doing? That it existed from the time that Hashem created the world. Could you say about any river that existed from the time Hashem created the world? L'chaira, most rivers, you would say about them that they were created when the Mabul came. You know, you could say about any river, yeah? Well, forget about it. We could say about any river that it was created from the time that the Mabul came. We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam opened up the Tehaim, and he opened up the Arubos HaShamayim, and it may have caused and affected the formation of many rivers. Jayesh Avram Mubichat says, how could we point to any river and say, you know, we know the Mississippi River was around when Hashem created the world. Mehechi Tesi. How can you say about any river that it was around when Hashem created the world? Yeah, so we know that if it was man-made, if human beings change the course of the river, then you don't make Oysim Asabarishis. But even a natural river, which you would say is completely natural, but you don't know it was there when Hashem created the world. In other words, even the great rivers of the world, the Amazon River, Mehechi Tesi, it existed when Hashem created the world. And therefore, the Eish Avram says, you do not make a bracha on any river today. Furthermore, could you say that a river is bigger than one of the four rivers that are mentioned, Bereishis? We don't know how big those rivers were, and we cannot measure one river compared to another. So Eish Avram is saying clearly that unless you know 100% that something existed when God created the world, you can't make Oysim Asa Bereishis. So you would think that on the Yam HaMelach, you cannot make the bracha of Oysim Asa Bereishis. I'll give you two more examples. We know you're supposed to make a bracha on mountains. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, on Har Ararat, okay, we know that was an early mountain. But in the Sefer Zecher Nosan is a sefer for travelers. It was written in the 19th century. It has Haskama on it from the Aruch Laner. And the Zecher Nosan says that if you're in Italy and you see the Italian Alps, you do not make Oysim Asa Bereishis. Why? Because we know that Italy didn't exist when Hashem created the world. The Gemara says in Shabbos that when Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paroi, so Gavriel came down, he stuck a reed into the ground, he stuck a stick into the ground, and seaweed amassed around the stick, and that's where Rome came from. So if Rome didn't exist when Hashem created the world, the Italian Alps didn't exist when Hashem created the world, you cannot make Oysim Asa Bereishis on the Italian Alps. Right before the Shir, I saw another interesting halacha. You know what else you can't make a bracha on? Yerushalayim you can't make a bracha on. You can't make a bracha on the Har HaMoriah. Because Har HaMoriah also didn't exist when Hashem created the world. Because the Yushalmi says, and Tosfos brings it down in Avodah Zarah, and it's a Medrash Tanchuma, and the Chasam Sofer brings it Lahalacha. Then when Avram Avinu came to the Akedah, it says, Vayaris HaMakom Merachayk. He saw the Makom. Avram said, it's not right, God, that you should live in a low-lying area. You need to rest on a mountain. So Hashem took the Emek and he made it a har. So it's a har that never existed until the Akedah, until this week. So says the Sefer. I have it here. I just printed it out. Somewhere.
What existed?
Nothing. It was a hole in the ground.
There's no bracha to be made.
So you don't make a bracha. It says the Sefer Oitzer Halachos, he quotes the Shulchan Malachim. He quotes the Shulchan Malachim. That one does not make a bracha on Har HaMoriah because it did not exist when Hashem created the world. So unless you know it was around when Hashem created the world, you cannot make Oysim Asa Bereishis. So coming back to the Yam HaMelach, one would think that one cannot make a Oysim Asa Bereishis on the Yam HaMelach. And in fact, the Prima Gadim says, if you look at number 15, Naharois Gedoilois Davka Hainu Sheyadua Shehem Mimei Bereishis. Avo Naharish Nesavo Achakach Ein Mavarech. So at this point in the Shir, we would have to say on the Yam HaMelach, you do not make Oysim Asa Bereishis.
Right.
What would you make Oysim Asa Bereishis on? You would think, I don't know, the Mediterranean, the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. But look in the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Ki Asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mai Dechsev, it says that when Hashem created the world, Ki Hu Al Yamim Yisada, God founded it on the sea, Ve'al Nahara Yisichaninea, and He positioned it on the rivers. This refers to the seven seas and the four rivers that encircle Eretz Yisrael. that God created the world surrounded by seven seas and four rivers. What are the seven seas and the four rivers? The Sea of Tiberia. Fine, that's the Kinneret. And the Sea of Sidon. Sea of Sidon? God created the world with the Sea of Sidon? I thought the Sea of Sidon did not exist yet. Yama Shel Chelas, Yama Shel Chilsa, Yama Shel Sivchi, Yama Spamia, Yama Gadol. By the way, what's the Yama Gadol? In this context, the Mediterranean. We're going to see in Halacha, Yama Gadol is not always the Mediterranean, but in this context, clearly, if it's around the Eretz Yisrael, it's the Mediterranean. And the four rivers are the Yarden, the Yarmuch, the Krumioin, and the Feiga. So we have a major stira here. On the one hand, Rashi says the Yama Melech developed later. The Yam flowed into that area. And the Malbim explains that until then there was nowhere for the Yarden to go, so it overflowed. But then when there was a crater in the earth, it flowed into the empty crater. And the Gra says later on when God destroyed Sodom, that's where the Yam HaMelech developed. And on the other hand, the Gemara says the Yam HaMelech exists. Kihu al Yamim Yisada. It always existed. So they asked the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Shmuel HaLevi Vosner, one of the Poiskei Hadar, the last generation, do you make Oysa Masa Bereshis on the Yam HaMelech? So he said, honestly, at first glance, you should make the bracha. It was not a, it's not a man-made sea. It's not an irrigation canal. It's an act of creation. But then upon further analysis, if you look at Rashi, Rashi clearly says Yam HaMelech did not exist when Hashem created the world. But on the other hand, Rashi brings a medrash, that the rocks cracked open and the rivers flowed into that area. Now those rivers were always there, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. So the latent potential of the Yam HaMelech always existed, says the Shevet HaLevi. And if you look in the Ibn Ezra is mashma, that the Yam HaMelech always existed. But then if you say the Yam HaMelech was only created when Hashem destroyed Sodom, so then it developed later. And therefore, says the Shevet HaLevi, L'chayro, you're right. It's a suffik, suffik, brachos lahakel. Now, you know who offers an opinion about this issue? And I, you know, to me, this would be the last place where you would think you would find a biur or a biror on this issue. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, in the Sefer on Chumash, in Ayelas HaShachar, he has a kasha on the Yam HaMelech. A very interesting kasha. You ready for this? God created the world. We said all the water in the world was sweet. And you also have salt. You know, you could go to the store and you could buy salt. And then in the year 2047, it comes a new creation in this world. What is a new creation? Yam HaMelech. How is that possible? Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. How could there be a Yam HaMelech? I thought, no, there's nothing new under the sun. How could there all of a sudden be a Yam HaMelech? So first he says, well, that's not a new thing. There was always water, and there was always salt, and now we just mix the two together. But he says, according to that, that implies that, however, he says, if you look in the Gemara Bava Basra, the Gemara Bava Basra says the Yam HaMelech existed when Hashem created the world. And according to that, you would be able to make Oysa Masa Bereshis. So he says, perhaps, that when Hashem created the world, there was a small body of water called Yam HaMelech, but it was really very insignificant. And then when God opened up that crater and the Yarden poured into it, the Yam HaMelech became the big body of water that we have today. In other words, Rav Aaron Leib Shaman wants to say that at least some space of Yam HaMelech, some part of Yam HaMelech existed, and it developed into what it is today based on the phenomenon that happened in Sodom. But then he says it would come out that you should not be able to make Oysa Masa Bereshis until you see that little bit of Yam HaMelech that existed when Hashem created the world. And in fact, Rebbe Yoshev, says Rav Aaron Leib Shaman Paskins, that you can only make Oysa Masa Bereshis on the Yam HaMelech if you see the entire Yam HaMelech. So if you see the entire Melech, you'll definitely be seeing the part that existed when Hashem created the world. But says Rav Aaron Leib Shaman, but in that case, why don't any of the poskim say that the only way to make a bracha on the Yam HaMelech is if you see the entire Yam HaMelech? And therefore, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman wants to say a chiddush, that most of the Yam HaMelech existed before Hashem destroyed Sodom. And when Hashem opened up the area, It just expanded. But Roiv of the Yam HaMelech always existed. And therefore, since in Hilchos Brachos, we follow the Roiv, so you could, any part of the Yam HaMelech, you can make the Bracha Vaisa Masa Bereshis. So Aaron Leib Steinman wants to say that in fact, you do make Vaisa Masa Bereshis on the Yam HaMelech. Now listen to this. We're going to segue now to a different body of water to be able to get a little bit more understanding in the Yam HaMelech. Anybody here drive on the belt? Yeah, you do? You probably make other smart decisions besides this one, but you know we won't hold it against. Right? But if you drive on the belt, do you make a bracha when you see the ocean? Do you make a bracha when you see the ocean?
You make a bracha when you get to Brooklyn.
So, we read the Gemara already. The Gemara says, when you see the sea or an ocean, you make Oysa Masa Bereshis. But the Mishnah continues that there's a special bracha that you make on the Yam HaGadol. Look at number 20. Reb Yehuda Oimer, Haroyes Hayam HaGadol Oimer Baruch Sha'asa Hayam HaGadol. Now what's the Yam HaGadol? What is the Yam HaGadol? Now we already saw in Bava Basra, there Yam HaGadol for sure means the Mediterranean Sea. But is that what it means in the Mishnah and Bracha? Is that when you see the Yam HaGadol, you make Baruch Sha'asa Hayam HaGadol. So Maran Bet Yosef the Mechaber Paskins. Then when the Gemara says, when you see the Yam HaGadol, you make Baruch Sha'asa Hayam HaGadol, it refers to the Mediterranean Sea. Meaning, when you drive on the belt, you make Oysa Masa Bereshis. Now provided that you haven't seen it in 30 days. In other words, if you go to Lakewood every 30 days, once a 30 day, you're going to make a bracha every time. If you drive over the GWB every 30 days, you're going to make a bracha. I never saw anyone who make the bracha, because you never saw anybody who learned Reish Simen Reish Chafhe and Shulchan Aruch. But that's the halacha. You make a bracha when you see the ocean.
Even if you have the opportunity and you don't see it?
Yeah. Why not? I don't know. But the Shulchan Aruch says that if you haven't seen the ocean for 30 days, you make the bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the question is, so according to the Shulchan Aruch, when you see the Yam HaTichon, the Mediterranean Sea, you say Baruch Sha'asa Hayam HaGadol. When you see the Atlantic Ocean, you say Baruch Oysa Masa Bereshis. That's the Shita Shulchan Aruch. However, comes the Mishnah Berurah, and Mishnah Berurah says most Achronim argue on the Shulchan Aruch, and most Achronim say the Yam HaGadol is the Atlantic Ocean. And when you see the Atlantic Ocean, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Lechalom Sha'asa Hayam HaGadol. And the Mediterranean Sea is just the regular sea, and you make Oysa Masa Bereshis. So what do you do, Lamaisa? Yeshal milismach to do either one. Either to make Hayam HaGadol on the Atlantic, like most Achroinim, and Oysam HaSabereshis on the Mediterranean, or Hayam HaGadol, like the Shulchan Aruch, and Oysam HaSabereshis on the Atlantic. So it's interesting. Even though the Pacific Ocean is bigger than Atlantic, right? But not in Halacha. In Halacha, there's no such thing as the Pacific Ocean. Because it's all one ocean. And yes, the ocean that they dealt with, the furthest they're going to go, is they're going to travel, you know, through Europe to maybe to England, and then eventually to the West Indies and to America, or sometimes they went south. But and the Pacific Ocean in Halacha is considered part of the Atlantic Ocean, even though you're right. The Pacific Ocean, I believe, is much bigger, right? It's much bigger than the Atlantic Ocean.
We don't know which is the Yam HaGadol. It's safer to make us an
Asa. Yeah. So now, the truth is, there's only one spot in the world that you can make a definite Asa Yam HaGadol. The Strait of Gibraltar. Because if you look one way, you see the Mediterranean Sea. You look the other way, you see the Atlantic Ocean. And where the Mediterranean meets the Atlantic in the Strait of Gibraltar, you can make Baruch Sha'asa Yam HaGadol. That's the Psak Reb Chaim Knievsky. Which I was there, we made the bracha. Of course, nobody had any idea where that is and whether they got the right spot. I'm not sure, but...
You also make it in Panama.
In Panama?
Both oceans.
No. No, but you don't see the Mediterranean.
No, you see...
If you put it on your phone, you can look at your phone and you can look at the Atlantic Ocean, but you can't see
the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Yeah, but that's not going to cover all your bases. Okay. Now, I'm going to introduce to you a new personality. Honestly, I have to say, I didn't know who this person was, but he definitely captured my imagination. And that is, if you look at number 23, the name of the Sefer is the Pri Tevuah. The Pri Tevuah was written by not Reb Yosef Schwartz. Any Schwartz is here tonight?
Sender.
Reb Sender? Oh. Shalom Aleichem. Okay. Listen, you're going to like this one. Okay? Not Reb Yosef Schwartz, Reb Yosef Schwartz. Okay? Reb Yosef Schwartz was born in 1804. He died in 1865, and he's a Talmud Muvak of Reb Nosson Adler. And besides being one of the Talmidim of the Gedolei Olam, he went to university, the University of Würzburg, where he studied astronomy, botany, astrology, travel, mathematics for 15 years. And in the University of Würzburg, there were 300 students. 299 were Goyim. He was the only Jewish student in the entire university. And he was a Yorei Shamayim Gomer. He would not eat anything that was not absolute kosher. The rabbi of the city had to bring him his lunch every day, and if he didn't, he didn't eat. His Talmud Mubuk of Rav Nosson Adler. At age 24, he was enamored with Eretz Yisrael, the topography and the land of Eretz Yisrael. At age 24, he produced his own map of Eretz Yisrael, a perfect map of Eretz Yisrael, without ever traveling there. But his heart was pulling him to Eretz Yisrael. And we know that throughout history, there have been great Jewish travelers. Of course, the Chida, but one of the greatest Jewish geographers was the Rav Ashturi HaParchi. I believe in the 13th century, he wrote the Sefer Kaftar of Vaferach about the topography of Israel. And Yehosef Schwartz was enamored with Eretz Yisrael, and his family advised him, you can't go, you can't go, you know, there's a war between the Turks and Hungary. So he went to Hungary, and he got stuck there for a year. Then he went to Italy to try to sail to Eretz Yisrael. He got stuck there. And ultimately, against the better wishes of his parents, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he's in his high 20s. Now, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't know, this might take care of the shidduch crisis, was that a girl would always get married at the age of 12, and never later than the age of 12. In Eretz Yisrael in the early 19th century, a girl after 12 years old was already considered, you know. And Rabbi Yosef Schwartz, he's an older bacher. He's 29 years old. He marries a 12-year-old girl. That was the Minhag HaMedina. The other thing is there are no Ashkenazim in Israel. And he's from German descent. He puts on the Sephardic garb. No problem. He's able to mingle in all circles. Because back in Israel, in the beginning of the 19th century, they would look down on people with the Western garb. He then traveled the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, and he, I think for about 15 years, from north to south, from east to west, and he wrote an in-depth analysis of the history, zoology, science, topography of every square inch of the land of Israel. And he was an expert in Zmanim. So you'd think, okay, he's probably some interesting... The Chazon Ish quotes him, Lahalacha and Hilchos Shmita. He went out, he studied the Zmanim of Yerushalayim. He writes, no less than 4,000 mornings he woke up at Alois HaShachar to study sunrise. Think about how many years that is. He writes, no less than 4,000 days he woke up to study. Now, some reading about him, he had a son-in-law. His son-in-law's name was Rav Eliezer Dun Raubag. And I'm reading he had 8 children, he lost 6 children. He only saw one of his daughters married. And in one of the articles I read, it says the Raubag family in Israel are descendants of his. So I figured, I'm going to send a message to Rabbi Raubag. I say, by the way, Rabbi Raubag, yeah, I'm friends with him. He says, are you related to the Tfuay Sa'aretz? Avada! My grandfather, Rabbi Lezer Dun Raubag, was the great-grandson of the first Rabbi Lezer Dun Raubag, who is the son-in-law of the Tfuay Sa'aretz. Not only that, my brother has his menorah, and my brother has his manuscripts. And today I saw the manuscripts of the Tvois HaAretz, the Tvois HaShemesh, and the menorah of the Tvois HaShemesh, which he used when he traveled the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you're traveling 15 years in Israel, 200 years ago, there's no minyan. He missed Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday for 15 years. He fasted hundreds of Tanisim for missing these Kriyas HaTorahs. He's not done yet. His heart pulls him to fundraise for the Yishuv in England and then America. We're talking over 200 years ago. He travels to England. He travels to the West Indies. Travel to the West Indies. And he writes about the halachos of Esroigim in the West Indies. That they're different than the Esroigim in Europe, but you could still make a bracha on them. He came to America. You ever hear there was an old-time American rabbi, Sir Isaac Leeser? I think he might have been a rabbi maybe in the Baltimore area. Not in Borough Park, no. And Sir Isaac Leeser was so interested and enamored with this Rav Yehoshef Schwartz that he translated his work into English. Now, Rav Yehoshef Schwartz, Atorei Rabag, you're related to Rav, then you're from Shevet Yosef. He believed that if your name was Schwartz, you come from Shevet Yosef.
I knew that all the time.
Right? Why? Because what does Schwartz mean?
Black.
The stone of Yosef on the Choshen was a black stone. And therefore, if your name is Schwartz, you come from Shevet Yosef. Now, what does that mean if your name is Weiss and your name is Kla? I can't tell, you know? Or the Hungarian name, I don't know. But if your name is Schwartz, so Rabak said, you know, he never knew. His grandfather told him that his family is not subject to Ayin Hara. He said, that's because Shevet Yosef is the Malam and Ayin. Anyway, but all these things, obviously a very interesting personality. You know, I sent him very innocently. I said, you know, the Tfuis HaAretz was a very interesting personality. I don't want to say more. He said, that interesting personality, that's an understatement. It's his Zaydus, I'm not, you know. But I looked it up in the Gedolei HaDoros of all the generations. He's on the official list of all-time great Gedolei HaDoros, Reb Yehoshef Schwartz. So he writes, then his opinion, and the Munkacha writes this in Halacha, that we side not with the Shulchan Aruch that Asa Sayama Gadol is going on the Mediterranean, but Asa Sayama Gadol is going on the Atlantic, and he writes that in the year, he doesn't say which year, we're going to come to it soon, when he traveled to America, he believes that the real Yama Gadol is at least 500 miles further on from England. That's where the real Atlantic begins, and that's when you can make Sha'asa Sayama Gadol.
What did he live in?
He lived from 1804 to 1865. But now, this is the most interesting part of the share. Because Rabbi Tzalo Stern was a Rav in, first in Sydney, Australia, and then in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote many volumes of Tshuva, Sha'al Tshuva, B'tzel HaChachma. Yeah, I think he's the brother of the Debre Tzina Rav. And Rabbi Tzalo Stern. And he says like this. He wants the paskin like the mechaber that you can only make a sa'asa hayama gadol. On the Mediterranean Sea. But you can't make Sha'asa Sayama Gadol on the Atlantic Ocean, because if you make Sha'asa Sayama Gadol on the Atlantic Ocean, then what bracha are you going to make on the Mediterranean? Oysa Masa Bereshis. Says Rabbi Tzalo Stern, in his opinion, the Mechaber is right, that not only is Hayama Gadol going on the Mediterranean, you cannot make Oysa Masa Bereshis on the Mediterranean Sea. Why? You know, you learned Daf Yomi, Shkolim? In Shkolim, in Parag Vav Halacha Beis, it brings, you know that we believe, you know they used to the continental drifts? Let me tell you what we believe. That Asia and Africa was one large landmass. Absolutely. This is not legend. This is not, the Talmud, Yushalmi, and the Medrash says clearly Asia and Africa were one big landmass. And when did they become two landmass? First in the Dar Enosh, and then in the Dar HaMabul. First, the Atlantic Ocean flooded, and then it flooded more. The first time the Yushalmi brings two deus. It flooded first to Calabria. Now, where's Calabria? It's on the bottom of the hill of the boot of Italy. So just imagine, where's the Atlantic Ocean? Coney Island Avenue, by Astroland. Or what is it called now? Luna Park, yeah? So the Atlantic Ocean is by Luna Park. By the Dar HaMabul, it went to Calabria. Now, until then, Asia and Africa was one big landmass. And it went to Calabria and it separated the beginnings of Asia and Africa. Then it went to Barbaria, which is North Africa, North African coast. So it separated fully Africa from Asia. Then the Gemara brings a different daya. No, it went all the way to Akko and Yafo. That means that the Mediterranean Sea did not always exist. The Mediterranean, when God created the world, there was no Yam HaTichon. The Yam HaTichon is an expanded Atlantic Ocean. Says the Betzel HaChochman, his opinion, Maran Bet Yosef is right, and he wants to support the Beis Yosef against all the Achronim, that the Yam HaGadol must be the Tichon. Because otherwise the alternative is to say, Oy Samas Abrashis on the Yam HaTichon. And how could you say, Oy Samas Abrashis on the Yam HaTichon? Now listen to this. The Gemara in Baba Basra says the Yam HaTichon existed. Kihu al Yamim Yisadav al Nharis Yichonineha. So that means the Gemara is saying that the Mediterranean existed when God created the world. Says the Betzel HaChachma. The same Gemara says the Yam HaMelech existed when Hashem created the world. And just like there's no way the Yam HaMelech existed when Hashem created the world, it came later when Hashem destroyed Sodom. Likewise, the Mediterranean didn't exist when Hashem created the world. So what does the Gemara in Baba Basra mean that the water, that what does the Gemara mean that Hashem created the world on the with the Mediterranean Sea and the Yam HaMelech? It doesn't mean when Hashem created the world. It means when Klal Yisrael got to Eretz Yisrael, after Hashem gave us the Torah in 3448, what year did we enter Eretz Yisrael? 3488. In 3488, there was the Yam HaMelech and there was the Mediterranean Sea. But it was not there when Hashem created the world. Rabbi Tzal Stern feels, you cannot make Oy Samas Abrashis on the Mediterranean, and you cannot make Oy Samas Abrashis on the Yam HaMelech. That's half of a fella. I think you'd tell most people, you know, we believe that Africa and Asia was one big landmass. So what do you mean? You believe in the dinosaurs also? You believe in... That's what the Yerushalmi says, according to the Medrash. And Rabbi Tzal Stern brings it, halacha lemaisa, that because of this, you cannot make Oy Samas Abrashis on the Mediterranean. Okay, so here's the bottom line. Ready for this? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, look at number 25, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, paskins, that on the Yam HaMelech and the Kinneres and the Yam Shel Tveria, you can make Oy Samas Abrashis. However, most poskim, it's brought in the Sefer of Ezois HaBracha, he quotes Echad Migdolei Adar, which by the way, a little tidbit, is when the Sefer of Ezois HaBracha quotes Echad Migdolei Adar, he refers to Rabbi Yashiv, and he quotes Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, and he quotes the Shevet HaLevi, that there are many factors why you cannot make Oy Samas Abrashis on the Yam HaMelech. Most importantly, and notably being, because it did not exist when Hashem created the world. And therefore, Rabbi Rabag's Elta Zeda, in the pre-Tavua, he writes that when he traveled to America in the year 1849, and his boat was in the heart of the Atlantic Ocean, he wrote, Lahalacha, that if you ever see the Yam HaMelech, you cannot make the bracha of Oy Samas Abrashis, because it did not exist when Hashem created the world. But then he adds another reason why, in his opinion, you cannot make Oy Samas Abrashis on the Yam HaMelech. And L'chaira, this reason is not correct. He says as follows. So I'll give you the following introduction, and we'll end with basically this. 1967, so the Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael was in great danger, and we had a great Yeshua in 67, and for the first time in decades, Jews now had access to go to Mekoymos HaKadoshim, as well as the Yam HaMelech. So they came to the son of the Brisker Rav, Meir Soloveitchik, and they asked the Shaila, if we go to the Yam HaMelech, could we make the bracha Oy Samas Abrashis? So he said, first of all, no, it didn't exist when Hashem created the world. However, there was another reason that was suggested, and this is suggested by the Munkacher, it's also suggested by the Pre-Tavua, that Rav Meir Soloveitchik did not accept, and Lechari is correct. And that is, it's argued, how could you make a bracha on the Yam HaMelech? The Yam HaMelech is a Makom Klala. It's a place where God destroyed. It's a dead place. Hashem cursed it. Hashem was mahapechet with like a nuclear bomb. Everything turned into sulfur. Everything turned into salt. On a klala, you're going to make a bracha? You can make a bracha on a klala? How could... It's not even appropriate. It's not right to make a bracha on a davar shel klala. It's the antithesis of what the Yam HaMelech is. And l'chaira, the support would be that if you look in the Gemara in the Mishnah and Brachos, on daf mem amud beis, anybody here ever eat a grasshopper? What? Eat? A grasshopper. Eat a grasshopper. No? Chocolate covered. Anybody know what bracha do you make on a grasshopper? Shahako. So it's a machloikis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says, what bracha do you make on a grasshopper? You're not allowed to make a bracha. Because grasshoppers eat up your field, and they're a sign of klala, and you can't make a bracha on a klala. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Huda. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Dalet paskins, if you eat a grasshopper, you make a shahako. So says Rameir Soloveitchik, you can't say you don't make a bracha on the Yam HaMelech, because it's a makayim shel klala, because we paskin that you do make a bracha on a davar shel klala. So that would not be a good argument. But halach l'maisa, if you do go to the Yam HaMelech, you do not make a bracha of Oysa Masa Bereshis. Now, one of the paiskim say, another reason you don't make guys Oysa Masa Bereshis, it's not that impressive. I don't know, I think it's a pretty impressive area. I think it's pretty, it's one of the wonders of the world, or certainly it's one of the great wonders of the natural world. But the bottom line is, there's a very strong suffix not to be able to make the bracha of Oysa Masa Bereshis because it's something that came later on in history. Okay, we'll end off with one interesting halacha. Are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? To know. We know it's the Gemara. And it's halacha and Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Unless what? Unless you're going to learn Torah, you're going to get married, or Parnassa. Fine. Now, where does Eretz Yisrael end? So we know the Yam HaMelech is one of the borders. Which side? It's Machlokes. Assuming the interior of the Yam HaMelech is a border, so then you technically cannot stick your finger over the border. You can't go into the Yam HaMelech. So Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman in Parshas Maaseh quotes a chiddush from Rav Chaim Knievsky that even though technically the border of Eretz Yisrael is the shore, but mistaber, wherever people typically would go into the water, that's also begeder Eretz Yisrael. It's not considered leaving Eretz Yisrael. So either you could be samech on that, or you'll have to open up a yeshiva in the Yam HaMelech, and that way you could actually go into the water. L'chol hadeyos. Okay, but it's interesting idea. But l'maiso, what's most interesting is the fact that even the Mediterranean Sea was not around when Hashem created the world. Whether you can make Oysa Masa Bereshis on the Yam HaTichon, that's up to debate. On the Yam HaMelech, halach l'maisa, there is strong evidence that you cannot make Oysa Masa Bereshis. Wishing everyone a great night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.